Today's presentation is on the future of our faith by Reverend Matt Aspen, he, him, which relates to our fifth UU principle, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregation and its in society at large.
Thank you, Sonia. Good morning, everyone. I've already warned a few people. I have a lot of words today, so settle yourselves in, make yourself comfortable, and I'm thankful to be here today. I think you'll know that this is going to be a long ride, because the first sentence in my talk today is, "What in the world is Unitarian Universalism?" Before I can dive into my chosen topic for this morning's sermon about a current and very relevant discussion that is happening regarding a significant proposed update to the bylaws that define the voluntary association of congregations of which Prairie is a part, it is important for me to provide a bit of background for those of you who may have wandered in here today for the first time, or may still be in the early days of your investigations of determining if this faith tradition is the right place for you to continue your intellectual and spiritual pursuits. I will try to be brief, as there are also folks here that have been heavily connected and invested in this tradition since before I was born, who, in addition to being bored by the repetition of information they already know, will likely correct me from personal experience if I attempt to articulate any historical facts with more specificity than my relatively recent academic pursuits would justify. Very simply, Unitarian Universalism is the current iteration of two originally Christian sects, Universalism and Unitarianism, whose lineages can ultimately be traced back all the way to the Protestant Reformation of the 1500s. To simplify this dramatic epic of history, suffice to say that the disruptive invention of the printing press was actually a key trigger in this story. Its arrival expanded access to the written words in ways that were simply unavailable before that time. And it didn't take too long until a lot of folks began examining what the Catholic Church, the sole moderator to that point of what was claimed to be the true form of teachings from the Bible and the professed Son of God, Jesus Christ, what those teachings were. Many began to identify some discrepancies with what they were being told and how they were interpreting the words that they now had easier access to examine. Each of the Protestant sects, of which there are many, then, was protesting a different element or central concept of the Catholic dogma. One group couldn't square the idea that an all-powerful and all-loving God would ever condemn anyone to eternal suffering, no matter their shortcomings. These folks ultimately became the Universalists. Another group couldn't find justification for the idea of the Trinity, a separate Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And after many long and contentious debates, including many being burned at the stake for espousing such heretical beliefs, these folks became the Unitarians, and as in, God is one, not three separate beings. And not being satisfied with coming to the end of that debate within their own circles, the Unitarians have continued to challenge pretty much every concept handed down by a central authority ever since. Now, you may think that these two traditions would blend together like oil and water, and there are plenty of places where tensions remain in the system to this day. But I think another way to look at it is that what we have is a beautiful union of head and heart. A tradition with a theology that values the miracle of life with a deep and profound love, coupled with a theology that says human life is hard and complex, and we should use our intellect to create as positive an experience as we can for all of the miraculous beings that have the good fortune to inhabit this little speck of beauty floating about in this unfathomably random and enormous expanse of space and time. American Universalism became a formal religion with its initial declaration of faith in 1750 in what was primarily a doctrinal statement of beliefs. The Unitarians codified their shared beliefs at the time with a statement of shared faith in 1825. This was found in the creation of the American Universalist Unitarian Association, which was primarily a covenant that included a few doctrinal implications. Fast forward, lots of interesting history and overlap and partnerships and disagreements, and we arrive at the decision of these two proud faith traditions to merge in 1960, codified by the creation of bylaws defining the newly formed Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. These bylaws intentionally blended humanist and theist theologies, established congregational polity, which means the individual congregations are in charge of the whole thing, and demanded no set creed or dogma. In addition to the creation of this newly blended modern theology, the drafters, and I'm going to guess likely mostly coming from the Unitarian side, recognized the limits of their current perspectives and included processes to periodically review, update, and amend the charter that guided this voluntary new association. There have been several significant updates from that original document in 1961, heavily informed by the influence of feminism in the 70s and 80s, and an ever-expanding pluralist worldview. Through the early 80s, which was the last time a major revision of the bylaws was undertaken, there have been some small tweaks and some additions, but the last major review was done in the early 80s. Which brings us to this moment in history. Many of you here today are quite familiar with the seven current Unitarian Universalist principles, which were adopted during that last update in the 80s. These may have even been the concepts that attracted you to check out or even decide to become a member of a UU congregation like this one. These principles can be found in Article 2 of the current UUA bylaws. And consistent with our history, are currently undergoing a lengthy and in-depth review by a study commission convened by the UUA board following a vote of the delegates at General Assembly, which is the annual gathering where member congregations like this come together to share, to learn, to discuss, and to debate, the Unitarians mostly, the current and future premises upon which our faith tradition stands. I'm giving them a hard time, but we're all debaters. Now, last year, or the beginning of this year, I think it was, I sent out an invitation to be part of a group in this community to study the history and current concepts contained within Article 2 in preparation for the opportunity to contribute to this national discussion. Three Prairie members and one just interested friend accepted this invitation and took part in a series of sessions over a two-month period, aligning themselves with the process by which the commission has set to gather feedback. These same individuals were recently invited to participate in a national discussion group, or a series of national discussion groups, that took place to review the initial revision suggestions being posed by this Article 2 commission, which then afforded them the opportunity to provide detailed feedback to the commission regarding how well the updates they are suggesting capture the current and imagined future sentiments of the majority of members of this association. Now, knowing, as I do, that not everyone has participated in these sessions, I thought it important to share some of the top updates that are being proposed to Article 2, the Principles and Purposes sections of our current bylaws. Sonia, would you be willing to read some of these current suggestions to the folks gathered here today?
Sure.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
All right, number one. We believe in the Holy Ghost, whose office it is to make known to sinners the truth of their salvation through the medium of the Holy Scriptures, and to reconcile the hearts of the children of men to God, thereby disposing them to genuine holiness. Number two, our faith, the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, the leadership of Jesus, salvation by character, the progress of mankind onward and upward forever. Number three, the perfections and the will of God and the rule of faith and practice. Number four, we affirm our belief in our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God, and his specially appointed messenger and representative to our race. Number five, to implement the vision of one world by striving for a world community founded by the ideals of brotherhood.
Now, wait a minute, Sonia. Come back up here. Those aren't really examples of the words that are being considered to replace the current UU principles, are they?
No, not really.
All right. Well, what faith tradition do we actually pull these statements from? It doesn't sound anything like what I think about when I think of Unitarian Universalism.
These were all past historical examples of language agreed upon within either Unitarian, Universalist, or Unitarian faith traditions.
Ah, thank you, Sonia. You had me worried there for a minute. Thank you. These statements were each part of the voted on principles and purposes of either the Unitarian or Universalist or even the Unitarian Universalist faith, ranging from the years 1790 all the way up to 1981. In fact, the second one about onward and upward forever was written in 1889 by Unitarian minister James Freeman Clark and can still be found on walls, in church entranceways, and memorized in RE classrooms in a few of our churches today. Now, I shared these historical examples to make a point. In this faith tradition, we changed these covenants because we believe the promises we make to ourselves and to each other should adapt as our collective understanding of what is likely true and most meaningful begins to change over time. These statements may seem limiting to some now, but at the time they were adopted, they really did represent our best collective thinking. Thankfully, we are part of a living tradition with a central belief that the only constant in this universe is change. As the brilliant black science fiction writer Octavia Butler penned in her seminal work, The Parable of the Sower, all that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change. And with that, we are all caught up to the current moment in history. The commission, which has been studying and discussing and asking and questioning and wrestling and wordsmithing for the last 2 years, has sent out a proposal to make a significant change to Article 2, up to and potentially including the removal of the principles and sources. To which many gathered here, who have devoted the better part of their lives to upholding and aligning to, may now be thinking, whoa, not so fast. I have a thing or two to say about this, especially those that you lean towards the Unitarian side of our tradition. Now, at this point, I hope to have created a tension. I am discussing what many would claim forms the bedrock foundation of the faith tradition you have attempted to align your lives around. I've told you that those principles are in the process of being reviewed and potentially scrapped, and I've told you that the majority of you are completely disconnected to the process at this point. How does that feel? Yeah, I'm going to let us sit with that for a moment. It may be uncomfortable, but as my friend the Reverend Jake Morrow preached last Sunday ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday, rather than giving thanks for our family and friends and good health and good fortune, perhaps we might be better served by learning to give thanks for the challenges that appear in our lives, because this is actually where the greatest lessons available to us can be found. So, show of hands, or however you are physically able to note agreement, how many folks in this room or online are feeling a bit uncomfortable about the idea that the principles might be going away? Yeah. If you're online, almost everyone in the room has raised their hand. Okay, next challenging question. Again, raise your hand or however you would note. Who in this room believes that they could come up here and recite every single one of the principles verbatim in front of the room right now? For those of you that are on Zoom, nobody has raised their hand. Speaking truth. Here's my challenge to each of us gathered here this morning. One of the principles most of us can remember is the fourth one, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We tend to love that one. To me, the primary word in this sentence is responsible. To continually search for what is true and meaningful in this world at this moment in history is a responsibility. Because the principles as they are currently configured build upon each other. This responsible truth, the search for what is currently the most true so far as we can individually ascertain, leads us to the fifth principle, the right of conscience and the use of democratic process within our congregations and in societies at large. If you were here last week, how well do you think we practiced that principle last Sunday at our parish meeting? One of our pinnacle practice grounds for the democratic process. Do you feel that this process was designed to dig in and really discuss challenging differences of opinion to ensure the community made the best possible collective decision it could? Or as one member worried and shared with me, did it feel more like a place to take as little time as possible and just pass whatever agenda was proposed? Yeah, nobody likes parish meetings. Some do, the Unitarians. This is truly a question worth pondering, because that fifth principle claims to be the path towards the goal we all claim to aspire in our sixth principle, a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, which is, of course, an imperative if we truly believe our seventh principle that states we are each just one part of an interdependent web of existence. People love to say, oh, Unitarian Universalism isn't a real religion. You can believe whatever you want. But nothing could be further from the truth if you actually approach this faith tradition as a religion that can be used as a compass to guide your choices through this life. The invention of the World Wide Web has created a situation not unlike the introduction of the printing press, which was one of the major catalysts for the Protestant Reformation we discussed earlier. And no matter where things go from here, it is likely that scholars or AI bots will look back on this time that we are currently living in as another pivotal moment that defined a new direction in our collective human history. I have hitched my wagon to this faith tradition because I believe that the current iteration of Unitarian Universalism provides a well-calibrated compass to help us navigate this tumultuous stretch of history in a society that many fear has begun to lose its way. And I'm truly excited to be serving this community because I also believe the elders that have been leading this congregation for the past 50 years have created a culture that embodies many of the best elements of this faith tradition and whose practices should be shared more widely, both for the benefit of this local community around us and within the wider UU movement for the benefit of all. But for that to be true, I believe we need to be mindful to avoid many of the societal norms conspiring to steer us toward collective peril. One of the perils of the internet, it is that it has made all manner of information instantly available to all, while simultaneously providing a platform for everyone to voice their opinion on any matter, on any subject, with very little moderation. The foundation of our free society and a central tenet of our faith tradition is the idea of democracy. Democracy requires a free exchange of ideas. But to work as I think it was envisioned also requires each member of the society to be both equipped and willing to engage in that responsible search for what is most true and meaningful. And as we are learning, the internet on its own may not be the best forum for that work to take place. Because as I said, there are a couple of inherent risks. One is the easy dissemination of false information, especially information that is intentionally designed to create factions that become pitted against one another. And the second, which is equally dangerous, is the separation and anonymity that comes with being able to express our opinions without the fortifying challenge of dissenting views that ensures our perspectives aren't completely self-centered and myopic. The concept of real democracy is messy. For it to work as envisioned, its processes must be sound, and we must collectively believe in these processes. And unfortunately, for many of our fellow citizens, that trust is eroding. And if we proclaim to believe in the concept of democracy, we are compelled by our faith to work towards strengthening it. Because if we don't, there are two competing factions that will conspire to leverage the system for their own agendas. The first, of course, are the powerful that have enough influence to corrupt the system for their own personal gain. And the other, surprisingly, is any group that has completely lost hope. Because as St. Janus reminded us in the 60s, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. We are living in a time that a large and energized swath of our population has come to feel so hopeless about their future prospects that they've become susceptible to authoritarian voices that tell them the only way to achieve success is to overthrow the government. I think we dodged a bullet on January 6, 2021. Our democracy held. And some might be breathing a sigh of relief that the candidates in the midterm election that espoused those views were defeated by more moderate voices. But genuinely, does anyone really believe that our current extractive and exploitive policies are going to lead to prosperity for more and more humanity in the decades and centuries to come? I believe that one of my roles as a spiritual leader in these times is to look out as far and wide as I can at the outstretched prairie before me, and from that view, attempt to develop prophetic and hopeful messages based on what I see. And from my perspective, the current human problems we face will require collective human solutions. The world we are living in is too complex for any one individual to be able to propose guidance that is expansive enough to lead us safely forward. Elon Musk is in the process of proving this point as we speak. Argue he may be a brilliant individual, and he has had unbridled success at Tesla and SpaceX. But what he ultimately did at these companies was take existing known technologies and improve them. In his recent foray into Twitter, though, he's trying to bring that same reductionist process to an emergent challenge. And the results so far are not looking so good. Because Twitter is an example of this newly expanding way we are trying to understand what was previously unknowable, similar to how the printing press upended the ways humans were able to access information 5 centuries prior. As we grapple with the potential power of these new collaborative technologies, It is inherent upon those of us who profess to believe in a set of principles designed to better support collective flourishing of life on this planet to continually deepen our capacity for equitable, wise, collective decision-making. And this, again, is why I keep coming back to the covenant of good relationships, the covenant of good relationships, or good relations that this community created. Because I don't view this as just a way to help us get along better, but rather I see this as the primary mechanism required to help us engage in difficult conversations with those who hold perspectives and beliefs different than our own. Not to make sure that our personal idea wins, but to be able to remain in the potentially uncomfortable dialogue that is required long enough to ensure that the best possible way forward is allowed to emerge from our collective conscience. New voices from the margins are pushing our faith to continue its journey towards newly understood truths. Democracy is hard. Social change is hard. The work is a responsibility. I know many in this room have been fighting this good fight for generations, and we are all grateful for the example you have set. So all of this finally brings me to an invitation and a request. After this service today, whenever the recording is available, because I want anybody that wasn't here to be able to access these words, I'll be sending out materials for each of you to review if you are interested in learning more about the Article 2 revision process. But this share comes with a caveat. If you are not fully invested in this work and in this faith, then I urge you to resist the urge to challenge the work that has been done by the Commission to this point, because that would be a violation of our fourth principle. That would not be a responsible way to approach this work. That would be the Elon Musk approach. That is the risk all of us must be diligent to avoid in this time when information is readily available and the platforms to spout our opinions are plentiful. Because just as Elon Musk believes that his perspective is smarter than the thousands of people that have been wrestling with the problems that Twitter has been trying to figure out, as it has attempted to become a useful, valid, and trusted platform for collective discourse, so too do we risk trying to impose a myopic view on a process that many committed people have spent the past years of their lives wrestling with. I fear that many individuals in our congregations across this voluntary association will take this approach. They won't take time to understand the thinking behind the work that is currently being done. But they may decide to go to the General Assembly after decades of passively calling themselves Unitarian Universalists, and they will tell today's leaders, the ones that have picked up the mantle and are trying to help this faith tradition continue to live up to its ideals, that they are wrong. My hope is that the voices that are doing this hard work will not be drowned out by the voices that hold entrenched power and have not chosen to remain up to date with the latest calls for still missing justice from the margins. I trust that the members of this community, those that take the tenets of this faith seriously, will join me in taking the lessons our ancestors have passed down to us and will commit to engage in deep, reflective, comprehensive, and responsible search for what is most true for the next phase of our tradition, based on all of the shared wisdom that we currently have access to. And let me be clear, I am not in any way proposing that we blindly follow the edicts that come to us from above. No, rather, I am inviting each of you to join me in the collective ongoing process of deep, continuing examination of what we profess to believe. It is this path, in this moment of history, that I believe we are most compelled to take for the good of our children, our fellow humans, and all of the creatures on this miraculous place that we call planet Earth. The times, they are constantly changing. It is our responsibility as Unitarian Universalists in this pivotal moment in history to live into the principles that have been passed down to us from the wise leaders that attempted to illuminate the path that we now trod upon. Let us heed their challenge and fully engage in this faith tradition, which has within it the potential wisdom needed to heal our ailing world. Blessed be, and may it be so.
Thank you, Reverend Matt. We now take a moment of silence to process what was presented before we go into discussion.
Well, as I said, I'll send out an email, hopefully with a recording of this service and the study materials and materials that have been sent out by the EUA to kind of allow you to kind of take a look at what the current situation is. And then, as I've been inviting, I will invite folks that would like to have discussion about this and be a part of this conversation to come forward. And I think longer term, what is probably going to happen, I think they're going to take feedback up until the 30th of this month. They're going to present their, what's that? Of November, yes. They're going to, what's that? Well, hold on. That's not the end of it. There's a lot of time left. They're going to take that those initial findings to the UUA board, which is going to determine whether or not they are ready to be presented for initial review by the association at the next GA. And at that point, everybody can come together, take what's been presented, and then go back and you know, discuss it, challenge it, come up with alternative proposals. What may very well happen is the proposal may be it's not ready to move forward at this time. And so there's another year and a half of discussion that is ready to happen. I pulled that group together at the beginning of last year to give time for people that were really interested and wanted to be able to contribute. So now that process is just closing up now. But there's plenty of time left to discuss. Let me a blanket response to that. I crave input. I crave questions. I want to be in dialogue. I want to hear what people are concerned about. I want to hear what people have questions about. I want to hear what you want more of, what you want less of. So anything that you hear on a Sunday morning, anything that you see in a newsletter, anything that sparks your interest or angers you or makes you concerned, by all means, minister at UU Prairie. Let's be in dialogue. I have confidence in our ability to do that because we have this beautiful covenant of right relations that'll help guide our way to sit with, even if it's an uncomfortable discussion, until we can come up with a mutual understanding and move forward together. So yes, I will invite many, many opportunities for everybody to come in and have a discussion that wants to have a discussion.